1992, I was at Texas, down in Texas A&M, and I was with Ray Brooks, where Ray Brooks pastored. And I went through an experience, and he called me back in his office, and after that was all over, and he said, "Brother Michael Murray, I'd like for you to help me with this verse." I said, "Okay." That may not have been the exact words he used, but that's as much I can remember. And I said, "Okay." And so I may not know what it means. And he took me over to a certain scripture, and it was had to do with the rapture. And when he asked me the question, I knew immediately he believes what I believe. But like me, I didn't say anything. I said, I'll sure take a look at that. And the problem I had with it, I believed what he believed, but I had a really hard time connecting it with what's known as the first resurrection. I had a hard time connecting it with having a gap that was in there. And I knew that I was saved. Wasn't any doubt in my mind about it. But when I would get down to a certain place in Scripture, I'd say, now I can connect this with what happens after the Great White Throne. I couldn't do it. But it was strange. It was strange. But I knew I was called to preach. And that may sound strange to you, but it certainly wasn't strange to me. And so I waited and waited. And finally, I figured out something that I believe. But when Ray Brooke asked me about that scripture, he already knew what it meant. He didn't know about the last part of it because he was as confused, I guess, as I was about it. I couldn't connect it. And I've told you the story many times about Chuck's dad coming here and how, because of him, I know God sent him here, I finally was able to connect that. And then I went on, and back then I had a real good mind for remembering things. And so I thought, well, I'll never forget that. And I didn't realize what happened to you after you get into your late 70s and early 80s. I didn't realize that. And I couldn't find the scriptures I had used. And yet I knew that what I believed was true. I knew it. The Lord, I knew it. So finally, I just started putting at the beginning of my stuff, I don't know the day, the week, the month, or the year that the rapture is going to occur. The catching out of the saints is what they changed it from. Catching out of the saints, they changed it to rapture. You won't find a rapture, the word rapture in the Bible. It's not in there. You won't find it in there. It's not in there. That was a word that they changed it over to. And because they did that, it has really caused tremendous confusion. And I know that it was not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I asked myself, well, self, would God deliberately change that so that people would be interested? And I knew enough about God that I knew God wouldn't do that. And he said that it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I knew that you had to be saved in order to understand what baptism was about. My grandfather understood that. And the church that I went to understood that. But my life's been a struggle because of that. I've told you about it before. So in 1992, I figured out that Ray Brooks believed what I believed. And I'm sure he did, and I'm sure he still does. But I've never talked to him about it, never said anything to him about it, because I know he understood. Now, I'm going to start here with a series on what is the nationality of the Antichrist, because I put the first one of these out in 2002. And I did it. In 1992, I understood what I believed. And my mind was fresh and alive, and I could put two and two together. But I never realized what happens to you when you get old, and you won't either until you get there. My grandmother, who finished about the fourth grade, Grandmother McElmurray, we'd sit on the back porch and shell peas. I've told you about it many times, too many times. But she would look over at me every once in a while, and she'd say, "Tom Mac," she said, "you won't know what's happening," but she said, "all of a sudden you're going to be an old man." And so that made an impression on me. And then when I hit 20, I thought, well, you know, I'll live at least to be 60. Then when I got 50, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to live to be 75. And then when I hit 75, I thought, man, this isn't much fun. But it was so quick, it was so sudden, it was over. And one of the things that God has impressed me with was, I know he was with me all the time. I'm absolutely positive of it. Because it was God. I know that. I'm certain of it. But anyway, I want you to take a good look at this, because this is going to be a series that you've heard in different ways. But I want to lay down the foundation for it, because I think it's very important. And if you want to take a look at this prophecy update number 62, it's on our website. You can pull it up. But the first time I ever taught the church on this was as soon as I came back from Texas. And I've stuck to that all this time. And so actually, this is pretty much what I've believed since 1992. What is the nationality of the Antichrist? April 2nd, 2018. That's when I sent this down to Tommy Brown. Prophecy update number 62, part 1. April 5th, 2002. That's when I first issued this. And here's what I said. We will eventually get around to proving the answer to this question in future parts of this update series. We will begin the series with a prophecy written more than 700 years before Jesus fulfilled it in his final days. In the Old Testament, God didn't reveal a lot of things all at once to them. He gave them the information. They could have figured it out. But for some reason, they just didn't like the idea, or some accepted it. But the full prophecy of this was not really completely understandable until Jesus himself fulfilled it. I have never doubted that I was called, but I have doubted many times, why did Jesus do this? And every time I've waved it off, and I've said, well, whatever he did was right. And when Chuck's dad came along, I figured I believed him. And I thought, there's got to be a way to connect this with that final rapture, because I had already figured out that the rapture itself should have continued to be called the first resurrection. You say, well, why is that important? Because they could understand the first resurrection way back in the beginning, and they didn't understand it. So where does that leave us? Well, it left me God called, knowing I was called, and I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. In Micah 5:1, he says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against thee. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." Now, Jesus didn't leave any doubt about this. After Micah wrote this. So this unveiling was something that God monitored. God knew all about. God knew when he was coming back. God knew all about the Son. He understood all of this because he's God. He always has been God. He says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." There are few cities on this planet that can compare with Israel on the number of times she has been conquered over and over and over again in history. Many times being retaken by those troops once driven out. Truly, Jerusalem has earned the title of daughter of troops. This scripture speaks of a particular time in her long history. It was a day during the Feast of Passover, a day when three sets of troops were in the city. Now, when I was over there on my trips, I talked to a lot of the priests, and I talked to some on the airplane when we were waiting for another flight to come in. I'd see a group over there just having a good time, and I'd go over and slide in with the one who seemed to be the head of the group and told him, "You know, I'm a Gentile. I'd like to know more about this. Could you tell me about this daughter of troops and what that means?" And he began to talk to me about it. And as he talked, I understood a lot of things that I didn't understand before I talked to him. You say, "Well, do you think God wants you to go over there?" Yes, I do. You say, "Well, it must have been pretty hard." No, I knew I was supposed to go. I went over there. Now, there were three sets of troops in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. Now, the first group was a group of Pontius Pilate's group that had in order to put away any rebellion that might arise, he went to some of these feasts. And you also had the Fortress Antonio there, which was on the northwestern corner of the Temple Mount, from which the troops could overlook all the temple courtyards from the highest temple. You say, "Well, now, are you sure of this?" Yes, I'm sure of it, because I've talked to the rabbis about it, and I talked in such a way that they were going to try and help me, I guess, to convert. But I got over there, and when I got over there, I began to go all over that city, and I found everything that was underneath it. I crawled through little openings that you could hardly get through, and I didn't know if I was going to make it out when I got back in there. And so what I discovered was something I can talk about, know I'm right, be sure I'm right, and then that way it strengthened my faith. I didn't doubt God. I was just trying to find out, and I guess it's what he wanted me to do, because I sure didn't like crawling back under there. I didn't know whether they had snakes under there or not. I never found any snakes under there. And it's a lot of crawling underneath there. And snakes would have been back under there if there was any food back there. But I didn't see any rats. I didn't see any other thing. So I said, "I'm going to find out for myself." Now, some of its base may be seen today. Some of its base of the whole temple. And there were three different groups over there on that day. And it says, "They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." That's exactly what they did. The prophecy of Micah was fulfilled during the last Passover Jesus attended. It was fulfilled from the time the first troops arrested him to take him to the high priest until he was placed on the cross. I can say that because I've investigated it. I've talked to the Jews. I've looked at the scripture, and I've asked myself, how could I possibly connect this with the actual thing that baffled me the most? I knew I was called. I knew that I was supposed to do what I was doing, but it was just difficult for me. And the Lord steered me into everything I did. Well, it was fulfilled the time the troops arrested him to take him to the high priest until he was placed on the cross. During this time, Jesus was exchanged back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between the high priest, Herod, and Pontius Pilate. On these occasions, he was beaten on the head above his neck many times with rods, those were reeds, and struck over and over again by the hands of the troops. That's what those rods were. They were reeds. They were rods. So that's a good translation. I don't have any problem with it at all. Now, when I came across this, I really got interested, and I started going over there, and I spent a large part of my latter days over there. And poor old Imogene, later on, was left alone many times. I've told you the stories about the time I took her around, and it just wore her out. And by the time that I was really getting serious about this, knowing what the truth said, you'll find all this recorded in the latter chapters of the four Gospels. Jesus was sent by his Father to be the judge of Israel. They rejected him as their judge and judged him instead, finding him guilty of the false charge of reaction to their rejection of his only begotten Son. Why did Jesus go back and ask three times about if there was any other way? And he did. And he was man, and he was God. And there is only one God. That's it. And then I began to study the things that happened that during the ministry of Christ. And I finally became convinced that when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was wrapped in binding. When they put that binding on a body, they put it on there tight. I know that from what the Jews told me and what I read in their own history. And they put it on it tight. He got out of that thing. Now, he came floating. But who did he? He floated out. You say, well, you can't prove that. Well, I believe that. Because all of a sudden, he came out. And there he was. And he was completely bound. He said in two other occasions that the Father had given him. He said in two other cases that the Father had given him the right to resurrect himself. He said he had the power to resurrect himself. Now, that was something. They believed in a first resurrection. But they never heard this word rapture. And they never taught the things that are written in Scripture. They didn't understand them exactly like we do. And God didn't mean for them to. They could have. But they had to study to show themselves approved unto God, working when it needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They didn't. And once they had come to the point where God just said, I'm not going to mess with you anymore. And God just left them to their own choice. And when he did that, it was a rejection of God's only begotten Son. And when they did that, a strange thing happened to Israel. They were just left to their own. And when they were left to their own, God didn't abandon them. When God does something, I've discovered this about him. He said, I am meek and lowly. You say, well, that's just figurative. No, that's not figurative. You say, God can't be that way. He is that way. That's what he's told you that's what it means after you get baptized. I kept coming to Christ, wanting to do what he wanted. I was willing to do whatever he wanted. And I kept coming and asking God to save me. And I was already saved. And when I had gone down the aisle to the preacher, he was trying to lead me down a Roman road. I was already saved. You say, God wouldn't do that to anybody. God would do that to somebody that he called for a specific purpose. I didn't realize all that back then, but I underlined it now. I'm not one of the two witnesses. Don't get me wrong. But what I knew, I knew. And now the middle portion of this verse gives God the Father's rejection to the rejection of his only begotten Son. Micah was an Israelite. Micah was an Israelite, so the us was what refers primarily to Israel. Would it also apply to the Gentiles? Yes. Well, why didn't God just come out and say Gentiles? Because I don't know. I really don't know, but I'm going to give you an idea. I think that when Micah wrote this, many years later, when Jesus went back three times, I think he loved the apostles. I think he loved the apostles. Well, I don't think he loved them. I knew he loved them. But how much did he love them? I think the reason he went back is because he was hoping he could stay and teach them a little more. You say, Brother Michael Murray, you don't know that. I do not. You're right. You're absolutely right. That's why I went back on my emails and started out from the beginning and said, I do not know the day, the week, the month, or the year that Jesus will come. And I still don't. But I've discovered some things since then. Jesus came as a man. M-A-N. What kind of a man? Sinless man. Sinless man who was God. He said there was no other God but him. So when you look at Jesus, you see somebody that was a perfect man. He was the propitiation for our sins. He was the propitiation for our sins. Well, what does that make him? He was the only just man who ever lived. He was the only perfectly just man who ever lived. And in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Micah was an Israelite. So the us in Micah, in this verse 1, so the us refers primarily to Israel. God has laid siege against judgment for almost 2,000 years because they rejected the one he sent to judge him. I'm going to tell you something I've learned about God. He doesn't mess around. But he has never sent any child to hell. He has never sent any baby in the womb to hell. For God, it was not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, well, explain all this to me. I'm doing the best I know how, based on what I've determined from Scripture. Not from science, but from Scripture. And everything that I examined and everything I did in doing this, I want you to know that I fear God. I feared God since the day I was saved. But it hadn't been something like, he's going to send me to hell. I knew I was saved. I knew it. And I knew I was God called, but I didn't understand some things toward the end of it. There has never been a race descended from one man, Jacob, that has ever passed through such persecution, unbelievable horror, and terrifying torture as has been experienced by the nation of Israel. The most horrifying of all being experienced at the hands of the Nazi SS during World War II. Now, I wrote this. This was from something I wrote in 2002. All of this is. The current siege is the constant threat of terrorism, now notice, by Hezbollah. Well, who controls Hezbollah? Syria. Well, this was written in 2002. The current siege is the constant threat of terrorism by Hezbollah, the Islamic Jihad, Hamas, and Fatah splinter groups. This was written in the year 2002. And this was something that I always went up to this, but I never would come out and tell you when I believe the rapture would occur. I still don't know. Now remember, this was written in 2002. The reason I won't do this is to not to say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you're pretty smart. No, that's something else I've learned. I'm not smart at all. I'm pretty dumb. God's smart. How smart is he? He is the propitiation for our sins. God tells us plainly, he is both the sacrifice and the justifier. He's just. That's God. That's his personality. That's the way he is. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And when he saved you, he knew he saved you. There have been people that didn't understand that, maybe because they had a particular mission to fulfill. But there are people that are honest and sincere that believe they were called, and later on, God loves them, and they realize it. And they don't preach anymore, or they don't teach anymore. They don't, and so I understand all that. Do I think less of them for it? No, I think more of them for it. Because this is something that is the most difficult thing I have ever faced in my life. And it doesn't mean that I'm smarter than they are. It doesn't mean that I've studied more different types of scriptures than they have. It just means that I understand. Because I had such trouble, and I knew I was called. My trouble was working it out. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I finally came to this conclusion. God himself was just. He was J-U-S-T. He never was anything else but just. And only the Creator who made us can be just in justifying us if he himself paid the price. That's why I always had such trouble at the end of this. And I told people, this is why I had trouble with some others in the church, that I never could convince that you've got to take it all. And you've got to be interested in it. What was the problem with Jacob's brother? What was his problem? He was profane. You say, well, what does the word profane mean? Well, it just means he wasn't interested in it. You say, well, I suppose he's in hell. I don't know where he is. I think he's going to heaven. I think you can be profane. But you say, you don't know that. I've been honest. I've told people, I don't know. But I know one thing. If God tells me I'm supposed to walk in with him, and I don't do it, I don't think I'm going to hell. But I do believe that because he saved me, he let me know he saved me. And I had a role to play, and I didn't understand what it was until a long way down the line. You say, well, tell me about the experience others have had. I can't tell you what the others have had. because I was called of God, and I knew it, and it drove me crazy. I thought, oh, I don't want to tell you what I thought. After experience what appears to be the end of her suffering, when what seems to be peace comes to her land, she will suddenly be vicious attacked from the north in a lightning jihad involving 10 Arab nations. I even put that in the update, that the first one I put out in 2002. I put that in there. This will be her final travail before her Messiah, Jesus Christ, returns to reign over her. This I put out in 2002. You say, well, why didn't you go and tell us when the rapture would occur? I told the truth in everything I put out, because I just, when God got ready to let me know, you don't know how relieved I was and how certain I was of what he had done. I have more respect for him than I ever had in my life, because I couldn't understand. And you asked me one time, Chitta, you said, if I recall it, you said, what about Cain? And I told you, Cain is in hell. And I understood that from the beginning. I understood you had to be saved. But how I was going to take that at the end and figure it around, I finally was saying to myself, I never said to myself, you're not called. I just said, Lord, when am I going to understand this? Because I knew I was called. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. You know, God has always been light. And this was something that when I was at the seminary, I went around and around and around with them about. They believed that the gap theory was, most of the preachers believed the gap theory. I didn't. You say, well, you taught it when you were here. What I taught you was not the gap theory. I taught you that you had to be saved before you were baptized. I taught you something you already knew. But I have believed from the day I was down there with Brother Brooks, I believe what he believes. And eventually I'm going to get around to talking about it. This is a long series. But I don't want to leave anything out, because ye is plural. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. It bothered me that I couldn't come and tell you what I believed about it, because I was in enough trouble with the brethren. Some of the brethren think I'm crazy. Well, I may be. But if I am, I'm not aware of it. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. And they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. I tell you the conclusion I finally came to, and I'm going to get there. Not here tonight, but before I'm finished, I'm going to justify my conclusion on the scripture that says, for he is the propitiation for our sins. And for he is the propitiation for our sins, that he might be just. He's always been just. That he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. You cannot be justified until God saves you. And when he saves you, you're justified. You know how long it took me to figure all that out? And I had a lot of help that God sent in here. That's why I talk about it all the time. You helped me a lot. Even the bushwhacking you gave me up behind a check. Here's a check. But listen, this is something that people ought to understand. I want you to know that I'm a God-called preacher, because it took me so God-picking long to figure out how this thing ended. I still don't know when the rapture is going to occur. But I know I'm saved, and I've known that since I came to him. But after Israel's final travail, this will be the fate of those who laid siege against her. Zechariah 14:2. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. It's never been fulfilled. Their flesh shall consume away where they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in the holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That's pretty bad stuff. In future parts, Lord willing, I will keep expositing in the fifth chapter of Michael until we know the nationality of the Antichrist. And I'm telling you, it's a lot closer than most people think. And I rejoice in that because I kept looking at all that time span in there, and I thought, how am I ever going to justify that? And finally, after Chuck's dad came in here, I looked at that scripture that said that he might be just. He's just. He's never been unjust. He's never been in darkness. He's always been light. Always. And so, in future parts, I'll keep expositing in the fifth chapter of Micah until we know the nationality of the Antichrist. And you see, the reason I'm going into all this, when I was growing up in a church, we had a lot of visiting pastors in there that were missionary Baptist. And our church believed what I believed because they taught me what I believed and what I still believe. But the one thing that always perplexed me was some of these visiting preachers got people down an aisle on emotion. I was just a kid, but I wasn't born in a, I didn't fall off a turnip truck coming into town. And we used to, when they start to give their testimonies during a worship service, I noticed that some of, we shouldn't have done what we did. We just whispered it among ourselves. And I was part of it. We just whispered among ourselves. Get ready. And we would have testimony services. And they got up and they gave testimonies that would go from here to China. And you couldn't help but believe they saved themselves. And we're sitting there in this church that doesn't teach that. And I noticed that the preachers that were coming and visiting us, some of them were just so intense at getting people down an aisle. People would come down an aisle and they were people that we knew weren't saved. And it bothered us. It bothered me. The other kids got a kick. I didn't get a kick out of it. I'm going to close and say one thing. If you want to watch that thing with Rosemary, what's her name?
Roseanne.
Who?
Roseanne.
Don't do it? Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to do that. What is that? What's her name?
O'Donnell.
Huh?
Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about it. If you want to watch Rosie O'Donnell, go ahead. You say, well, see, I'm not being mean.
No, I was afraid you was going to say you liked her.
Well, you just said it. Well, I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
If you want to watch Rosie O'Donnell,